our role in this is do all that we can to point our people to Jesus
yep.
and to equip them for the work of ministry that Jesus has for them to do.
Amen.
So if we think we're the center mm-hmm. of ministry, then they will not do ministry.
Sure.
They'll be looking to us to do ministry.
Yep.
But if they see that the greatest gift that God gave the church from next to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible is his people.
Well, welcome to CLF Conversations, Covenant Life Fellowship podcast, where pastors and members of CLF explore the practical applications of the gospel in everyday life, even in the mundane. Whether you're navigating parenting, engaging with culture, or wrestling with the complexities of politics, we believe that the gospel speaks into every single aspect of life. Join us for honest conversations, biblical insights, and real-life stories as we seek to live faithfully in a world that often feels chaotic. Together, we'll discover how the unchanging truth of God's Word shapes how we work, love, lead, and serve, no matter how ordinary the moment may seem.
What is that?
It chimes.
Oh, that's funny. We should have that before we start church.
And thanks for joining with us. Yeah. We're having already too much fun with this thing.
Yeah, I know. That's funny.
I've got some gear here to use. So anyways, ooh. Hey guys, thanks for joining us for our second episode of CLF Conversations. And today's episode is going to be the CLF mission. So hopefully we didn't scare you away or frighten you too much in that first one. We'll find our legs here soon. But in this episode of CLF Conversations, we're going to unpack the mission of Covenant Life Fellowship. And that mission is simply to glorify God by worshiping him, fellowshipping with one another, growing in Christ, and serving others. So we ask that you join us as we dive into each aspect of this mission and explore how it shapes just everything that we do as a church here. Whether you're new to CLF or a longtime member, hopefully this episode is going to encourage you and inspire you to live out the mission in just everyday life. So I am Perry Sorensen. I'm the worship and media director here, and your host. I should start saying that. I can add a little notch to my little title there.
Or you don't have to.
Or, well, you always got to take the fun out of things.
Yeah, I do. Sorry.
So So I'm Perry Sorensen. I'm here, your host today, with none other than the great and the famous, or the ordinary.
The ordinary. Very ordinary. Yes.
Pastor Dave York.
Yep.
Except that was me talking, not him.
Yeah.
So
I'm Dave York.
There he is.
He's Perry Sorensen.
All right. So today we're obviously going to cover our mission. And we really just finalized this here recently, really. And at the end of the day, we have four things that we really look at. We're going to worship. We're going to worship God. We're going to fellowship together. We're going to grow in Christ. And we're going to serve others. Mm. So, Pastor Dave, I mean, you've been at the helm of creating this thing. You know, with the help of others, but when you look at worship, right, what are we meaning by that? Worshiping God, how, you know, what are we doing with that? How are we doing that?
Well, let me go back a bit.
Yeah.
Just for the, I mean, some of you that maybe have been with us from the beginning or new with us, you know, I've never been a mission statement guy. Mm. I just feel like that Jesus has given us the mission and the Great Commission. So I've always had a kind of a challenge with it, but over the last several years, we've been asked kind of some pretty pointed questions about, you know, like, how does somebody get connected at CLF? How do they grow at CLF? What's our mission? You know, all these various things. And, you know, of course, my response is to go make disciples of all nations, you know. And
at least it's biblical.
It's biblical. Yeah, that's right. So I think it just really began to be like, what's kind of the language that we would use around here to make it clear. And so that's where the mission statement came up with. And we spent a year on it, just kind of perusing what we thought would fit and kind of making it simple, but also making it fit with like how we've done things historically. I mean, I think that's the other piece is that we didn't want to get away from like, you know, this is just who we are historically. We wanted this to be, this is who we've been as a people. So, you know, when you look at the four elements, you know, you've got, you know, worship God, fellowship with one another, grow in Christ, and serve others. Each of those kind of, if you think about them in a ministry process or a way that somebody gets connected to CLF and a way that somebody grows in their faith, you know, generally you think of worship God as like the congregational gathering. Mm-hmm. Could be a big event, could be like a men's conference, could be a ladies' seminar. It could be our Sunday gathering.
Yeah, Sunday morning. Yeah.
Generally, people come, and that's where people are going to first show up at CLF. They're going to come into the big gathering, and we're going to worship God together. And they're going to experience something we believe is very unique at CLF in the sense that people, we want to worship the Lord. But there's also just a deep sense of love and care for one another. You know, I've had so many visitors walk in the door and just and tell me after church, like, man, this is just very friendly. People are over the top kind. I think, and it's very genuine.
Yeah, and that's what drew us to, that's what drew my family and I to the church.
Absolutely. Yeah, I believe that. I had a guy recently tell me that he said, I don't know if you know how compelling the community life at CLF is. And you know, probably because I've been in it since the beginning, it's easy to probably take it for granted. So you think worship God, you think kind of big event.
Yeah.
We're gonna
church wide.
Congregational gathers. Congregation gathers and we meet together. And the next thing would be if somebody's been coming for quite a while, the next thing you want to do is they want to be in a group. They need to get in a group and they need to start fellowshipping together, right? And with one another. Now there's you know, a variety of one another's in Scripture in the New Testament. And the implication behind those is that you're together. For instance, you don't need to have forgive one another if there wasn't the possibility of you sinning against one another, right? So that's there for a reason. You don't need to have welcome one another if you're not in a room where you've got to welcome people, right? Or if there's not the tendency to be rude.
Yeah.
So
meeting with one another.
Right, exactly. Yeah, do not forsake gathering together.
Right.
So, you know, there's the idea of getting together in a small group. You know, probably the best picture of that is in Acts chapter 2 where they were together daily sharing their meals with one another. They were fellowshipping with each other. They were growing in grace. They were giving of all their possessions so that each other.
I was going to bring up the Acts 20 when we were just talking about our mission statement because you and Bill have really taken that to heart in everything that you do. And
yeah, but I'll cover that in a minute. I think that's a good point. I mean, I think that's you know, and I'll hit on that in a minute when it you know we're just talking about the you know each of those components. Mm-hmm. But so the fellowship component is mainly the groups, you know, like our community groups and getting connected with people. One of the things at CLF that concerns us right now is as we've grown, it's much easier for people to come to the church and not be known. Mm. And I just don't think that's a biblical approach to Christianity. Christianity is about being known by the Lord and being known by one another.
Yep.
So fellowship is a component. You know, it's worship God. Fellowship with one another, and then we want to grow in Christ. And growing in Christ means that we're going to be either being mentored, we're going to be being in a discipleship situation, relationship. We might be in a discipleship group with, say, you know, 2 to 5 people that we're together to grow in our faith intentionally. Could be that we're going to get some counseling from the CLF Counseling Ministry that's going to serve you for maybe helping your family, helping you work through some life-dominating sins. Mm-hmm. It could be a variety of things. But then the goal of even that is to get people to serve the Great Commission, you know, to demonstrate and declare the gospel for the sake of advancing the gospel. So, you know, so when you look at all four components, you know, worship God, fellowship with one another, grow in Christ, and serve, the goal is that somebody goes from being a church attender to getting into a community group, fellowshipping, to being discipled and equipped and trained, and then going and doing the same thing, just sharing the gospel broadly in their community. So really what we'd say is from point A to point Z, if you will, that's how somebody would grow at CLF, how they'd get connected at CLF. Mm-hmm. And that's why we put it as our mission statement. That's kind of what we do. And honestly, historically, that's how we've done it.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask a question on just how the CLF mission kind of provides a roadmap for living a Christ-centered life. And I basically just said it right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, and you're exactly right. I mean, that's why we call it a ministry process.
For sure.
For us, it's a ministry or discipleship process. Like if you want, you know, you could say, okay, how if my friend Sam were coming to church, what is CLF, what's their goal to help him grow in Christ? It would be, we wanted to worship God. We wanted to fellowship with others. We wanted to grow in Christ intentionally, and we wanted to serve the gospel, right? By demonstrating and declaring Christ in his world and be equipped to be able to do that. That's the goal of it all, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, I mean, just for a recap, you know, we look at, when we look at worship, we're talking about corporate gatherings, events, Everybody's invited.
Everybody's invited.
When we're talking about fellowship, we're looking at our community groups. Service teams.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, getting involved and being known.
Mm-hmm.
Service teams can be a great place of accountability and care. I mean, I know that there's some of our teams that meet together for prayer on Sunday morning before they launch, you know, and get going. I think that's a great place to get to know people.
Great place to be known. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Grow in Christ would be our study groups, like all the classes that we offer. And what we're trying to work on right now is with Stan and I is just kind of a teaching diet to just help people grow in their faith that maybe classes we'd offer every year, classes we'd offer, you know, every other year or every few years. Things like, you know, how to read, not just how to study your Bible, but how to read your Bible. What is the gospel? How to pray, how to share your faith, you know, all those kind of things are the kind of things that we're looking at. And then serve would be that you're looking for areas of ways to taking the Great Commission to your part of the world.
Right.
You're actually, Ephesians chapter 4, you equip for ministry to go do it.
Right.
In your world. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You said something earlier I want to get back to, though. It's like, how did this mission connect to Acts chapter 20?
Yeah, because the rebuttal is coming, you know, and we've maybe heard it here and there, you know, very far and few in between. But, you know, some people are just worried about us getting too corporate. And here we are on a podcast now.
Sure.
But that's just not us, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're definitely, in one hand, we don't have to worry about being that because we're never going to be that polished.
Yeah, I know.
Because guess what? You hired me.
Well, we're all kind of in the same boat.
But you and Bill have already always, you know, talked about when it comes time with the ministry staff about Acts 2, you know, 2:20, really. And it says, you know that I have not, and this is Paul talking, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you that you have taught to you publicly and in from house to house. That's really how we've really operated.
Yeah, I think
publicly would be the worship.
Right.
House to house would be you're starting to get into your fellowships, you're growing and you're serving.
That's right. And so our idea was, you know, when you look at scripture and you think, okay, scripture is going to give you a model for ministry, and Paul gave it to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. And he said to them, and he taught them publicly, he taught them house to house, and then he also says later that he taught them individually.
Yep.
Took 3 years, night and day with tears. So you look at that like a three-legged stool, in a sense, and without one of the legs, everything kind of gets out of balance. So at CLF, you've got publicly, worship God. You've got house to house, fellowship with one another. You've got one-on-one, you got grow in Christ. But then we start asking, for what purpose? Mm-hmm. And the purpose is for the Great Commission. Right? It is not enough for us, and it shouldn't be enough for any Christian. And if you are a member at CLF, this should not be enough for you that says, I just want to go to Sunday church. I just want to hear a good sermon and I want to leave.
Yep.
That's my part I'm going to play. Yep. I don't think that is biblical Christianity tying into being a biblical church member. It should be that, no, I want to grow in my faith to such a degree that I'm affecting people around me for the sake of the gospel, that I'm a disciple making disciple. And what's crazy is scripture calls every believer to that. It doesn't just call the pastor to that. So every believer, whether you are a mom or you're a friend, right? Whether you are a lawyer or you are a medical worker, we're all called to serve the gospel and the Great Commission. So if my vision of it is, if every member of Christ Church got a vision for being a minister of the gospel, where they're located, we would have, I believe, revival break out to such a degree that many lives would be transformed by the sake of the gospel. I think too many Christians, then they compartmentalize their world. So they say, at church, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
At home, I'm home. At work, I'm work. And don't see all of it encompassing. And no, you're a representative of Jesus. You're a child of God representing him wherever you go.
Yep.
So then CLF's goal is to equip everybody for that purpose.
Right.
So that when you're in your neighborhood, you're at the playground, you're at a soccer game, you're at a ballet event for your child, for your daughter, you're a piano recital, you name the venue, you are seeing your family, yourself, as representatives of Jesus for the sake of the gospel. That is, to us, that's just imperative.
Mm-hmm.
That's biblical Christianity.
Yeah. And, you know, and Pastor Bill and I were having a conversation just not too long ago, I think it was yesterday, but... And just how rewarding that is as well.
Oh, my word.
When you're obedient to what the Lord has called you to, there's something that is so warming to your soul, you know?
Yes.
I mean, obviously, I took my family, you know, skiing the other day. And yet we had this opportunity to talk to this guy while on a skiing chairlift. You know, well, that's not here in the church and sitting down and counseling somebody or something like that formality. You're just simply out living your life, you know, and yet you have that mindset of saying, no, but I'm also here representing Christ in everything that I do.
That's exactly right. So, I mean, it's that way everywhere. And I just think that when we look at the ministry process, you have to think through, that's the goal. That's what we're trying to get done. So, you know, again, if you look at your own life and you think, okay, I go to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I'm not connected in fellowship very well. I'm not in a discipleship relationship. Then my question is, how are you really going to serve the gospel? You know, you could also have one of those four missing. So an example, you know, people could say, well, I'm going to go to a group, but I don't want to go to church on Sundays. Okay, but you're actually disobeying the Lord mm-hmm. in your Sunday gathering, because he said, do not neglect the meeting together. And that phrase there is not in any communal gathering. Right. That phrase is worship God together. The idea is that we are actually getting together for the purpose of a gathering of worshipers. Mm-hmm. So it's not just any gathering.
Right.
It's a weekly gathering. When the Hebrews read this text, they connected it to their synagogue gatherings, which were, you know, every once a week, if not more. I read something today. It was interesting in that study. It was minimally once a week, which you think, wow.
Right.
So
not because I went to church, I don't have to go to community group.
That's exactly right.
Or because
right.
I went to community group, now I don't have to go to
that's
church.
That's right.
Or I went to a class, so hey, I'm done.
Or we had a seminar on Friday, Saturday, therefore I just check out on a Sunday.
Right.
Which I hear that from people often. Sure. And so my response to all that is, but that's just not biblical. Biblical Christianity is all inclusive. It's absorbed your entire life. And so that's the part I have a hard time connecting the dots with. That's why we've made the ministry process to say, okay, listen, these are four components of really growing in your faith to affect the world for the gospel, right? And then it's also a discipleship process by which people can grow at CLF and get more connected.
Right.
Right. So it's got kind of a multifaceted approach to all of it.
Yep. Now, a term we use around here all the time, every person ministry, right? That would fit into the fold of serving others, right?
Yes.
And of course, we're having a sermon series coming up that starts this Sunday. So it'll already be out by the time that this podcast is out. But so be looking for that one. That'll be called a CLF Identity. And of course, that'll be on the website. But still, with that said, serving others, and we use the term every person ministry. Can you define that for us a little bit?
Yeah. So
what it is and what it's not.
Yeah. So, you know, what it is if it, I mean, at its foundational level is Ephesians chapter 4, that the church equips its members for the works of ministry. Now, that word there is plural, and it for works, and it's intended that every person that's in the church is equipped for ministries, right, that they're doing other things. So the idea that falls into that is something I heard years ago from somebody. I don't even know who the quote was by. I've tried to look it up, and I haven't been able to find it. Maybe just something I heard or, you know, I read over a really good piece of pizza. But it was the first Great Reformation started when the Word of God came into the hands of the normal, common people. Hmm. The second Great Reformation will happen when the work of God comes into the hands of the normal, common people. Now, the point that guy was making was we have thought ministry is what our pastors and missionaries do.
Right.
And that's not a biblical approach.
Right.
They are a part of the ministry, but their part is to equip us for works of ministry, of which they're also a part of.
Right.
So an example of my own life, and people that know my history a little bit will understand it, is I started coaching baseball as a way of getting myself into the community, getting to know people, and try to just faithfully represent Christ through that. Now, I don't do it perfectly. I mean, umpires at times can make bad calls, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know,
there's grace to be had.
There's grace in that, and thank God for Jesus on all that. But what I've tried to do through the years is use baseball as an opportunity for ministry in my community. Now, that baseball ministry is not a church program. It's something that the Lord gave me an ability to do and an interest to do, and I love to do it, and I love doing it.
Sure.
So I just go do it, and I involve others in my church to do it. I bring other guys that I think would be great disciplers, or I also try to bring along guys that maybe I'm trying to mentor as well, right? And then certainly my team or whatever it may be. Now, what's been afforded over the 25 years of doing this is it's allowed for influence and opportunity for the gospel in other places in our mm-hmm. community. So an example, I have a good relationship with the UCC head baseball coach. I have a good relationship with the Legion people that are running Legion, and they allow me opportunities into that world to mentor young men.
Yeah.
And families know me, and they know me as the pastor coach, or some people just know me as coach. They don't know me right. as pastor. So it's allowed me this moment to begin to engage people for the sake of the gospel. Right. And what I'm trying to do is say, baseball is under the lordship of Christ, right? I'm serious.
Of course it is.
I mean, I can't, you know, the Lord won't actually guide that ball to be a strike for me if I need it in a key moment, but the Lord oversees it all. So I look at that and I think, okay, let's take that in a microcosm of my life, but let's put it in everybody else, everywhere else, right? And think about all the myriad of moments or interest or gifts or abilities that people can do that aren't necessarily church activities, but they're being equipped by the church to go do these things.
Right.
That to me is exhilarating.
Yes, absolutely. And, my son, it just astonishes me sometimes. And it's wherever we go, he just strikes up these conversations. He'll be talking to the guys when we're throwing a frisbee at a discourse or something
that.
And it's just all these regular things that you're doing, but your mind has, or maybe your perspective has changed on what you're there for. You know, at least the primary view.
Exactly right.
And I mean, I don't think it would be too far to say if you call yourself a Christian, you are in ministry.
No, that's not far at all. I think if you're not seeing it that way, you're not looking far enough.
Yep.
And again, I don't. There's people that God has what's the word I'd use? Like stirred internally to serve the church vocationally.
Sure.
That's their job, right? And that'd be like guys like me and you.
Yep.
Right. Our role in this is do all that we can to point our people to Jesus and to equip them for the work of ministry that Jesus has for them to do.
Amen.
So if we think we're the center of ministry, then they will not do ministry.
Sure.
They'll be looking to us to do ministry.
Yep.
But if they see that the greatest gift that God gave the church from next to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible is his people.
100%.
So the people are what really drive the ministry.
Yeah.
And so then you're going to care for them differently. You're going to equip them. You're going to listen to the questions that they have. You're going to be compassionate toward where they struggle because you want to help them represent Jesus really well in their world.
For sure.
Right? So all the way around the whole thing, it's like, you know, when you see every person ministry for what it is, and you see the fact that, you know, you go, if you look at the ministry process again, or in our mission statement, you know, worship God, fellowship with one another, grow in Christ, and serve. Mm-hmm. All of that is for the sake of people becoming mature in Christ to serve as ministers of the gospel for Christ. That's the goal.
And how much more glorifying that is to God. Instead of just staff members and pastors doing the work, no, the entire body of Christ says, no, we're united under this banner of Christ. We're going to represent him. We're going to represent him well in just our everyday lives, in our communities, with our friends, our families. That's how we have true change.
Yes. So let me just give you examples of this, right? So these are things that just amaze me of what God's doing. Now listen, there's things we don't know because our people are very discreet. They're humble people who don't like to showcase things that they're doing.
Yep.
But I can think of guys that are entrepreneurs in our church that they see that their entrepreneurial spirit is for the sake of the gospel. So they may teach on time management or vision or productivity or all these things. But if you looked at the underside, if you will, of all the principles, they're biblical principles.
Sure.
Right. I can think of people in our church that are they're school teachers or school administrators, and they're going into that world they're representing Jesus. Right. I can think of people that are coaching, that do a lot of coaching. Some of them just because they've followed the lead that I've done for years and they've wanted to do that. And they're trying to do this to affect people for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah.
You could see this in the music world. I mean, I remember a few years ago going out to the college and watching a couple of our gals and some people that were in a play out there, and they were seeing themselves as representing Jesus in that world.
Yep.
And I just think that I think of loggers that are representing Jesus while cutting down trees.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think of, you know, conversations that one of our elders has had with me about, you know, when the log truck drivers comes into his log yard, how he's, you know, takes time to just try to give them care. And sometimes he feels convicted that he didn't do it enough. But he's seeing himself as a representative of Jesus.
It's the beauty of the body of Christ.
That's what I mean.
You know, the myriad of giftings that you have.
Well, think about that. I mean, those are people you and I are never going to touch.
100%. I am not going to find myself teaching 10 plus years in a second grade classroom.
No.
That's not me.
No.
Nor am I a businessman. Yeah. I'm a music guy.
Exactly. I'm with you. I'm in the same boat. I think, okay, then if we're going to reach the world for Jesus and take the gospel to the ends of the world, what has to happen? Mm-hmm. Everybody in every facet of life has got to see every part of their life, all of Christ, lordship over all of it.
Yep.
Right? So if you have a businessman who isn't thinking in terms of how do I affect people for the sake of the gospel, or the way I'm going to respond to this business deal going bad is going to represent Jesus.
Yep.
I don't think they're thinking big enough about
it. Right. Not to mention that is how you have true multiplication of the gospel.
Sure.
You want to have an effective change. I mean, even just from a productivity standpoint, man, the body of Christ is a golden tool to spread the gospel.
Right. Right. I mean, I can think of situations in my own life where, you know, I had a bad interaction with somebody in society. Didn't know they were a believer or not. They got mad at me about something, which happens. And the way I tried to, I thought to myself, I'm representing Jesus.
Yep.
And sometimes that's been really good. Sometimes it hasn't been great. Mm-hmm. I can think of a recent situation where people they've responded. They've leaning in. They're wanting to get to know me a little bit more, wanting to hear about my faith because they realize I did something a little different. And I just think, but that wasn't me being a pastor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
The thing that has struck me through the years is being a pastor is what I do. Being a Christian is who I am.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right? So my identity is I'm a child of God first. I'm the husband of Jill second. I'm the dad of these great kids I got. I'm now a granddad of this beautiful grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm a pastor in a sense, right? But my identity is I'm a child of God. I represent Jesus wherever I may go. And so I just think that, you know, so you think about what is the effect that I have when you're sitting at a restaurant? What is the effect that I have when you get bad service?
Yep.
What effect does it have when the gas attendant shows up at your car?
Exactly.
What effect does it have when you're in the grocery store and somebody stops you and you got your nose down to go get your stuff because you got to get back to all these things? It's like, okay, how can we see the gospel? In this, that's the goal of the ministry process. It's not there to be corporate.
No.
It's simply to say, look, this is how we do what we do here.
Right.
But what's the goal? The goal is to get the gospel out to the ends of the earth. And while we are acting locally, you know, right here in Roseburg,
yep.
And we're thinking and praying globally,
yep.
You know, that's the goal.
Yeah. Very good. You mentioned something a while ago under, it was just in the growing in the Christ portion of our mission here. You mentioned our counseling ministry. Just real fast, I mean, if there's somebody out there that's listening and they heard anything about our counseling ministry, how do they get connected to that?
Yeah, so you contact the church. Yep. I mean, you know, Heather Bendel, who's on our staff, she's our ministry liaison. And
call the front office. Yeah.
Front office, yeah. Just call the phone number on the website. You know, you can send an email to the website as well. But our counseling ministry is distinctly from a biblical perspective to help people grow in their faith, to become disciple-making disciples. I mean, that's one of the goals. So maybe your marriage is in a bad spot, and you think, man, I really would like our marriage to become like Jesus wants it to be. The goal isn't just to become like Jesus wants it to be. That's awesome. But if it's like Jesus wants it to be, you'll be affecting other couples.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, if you've got, you know, you've got some life-dominating sin, if you've got an addiction— we got a great addictions class that goes on with one of our guys leading that, Robert Sidlow.
Yep.
If you need marriage counseling, Bill Hurd and Robert Sidlow lead that, and they help through that. If you got children that need counseling, that need help, man, we'd love to help.
Yep.
You know, it's another avenue for the gospel.
100%. Yep. Yeah, so, I mean, just to wrap things up here, because we're running out of time, just we worship God, we fellowship together, we grow in Christ, and we serve others. And hopefully we continue to do that admirably. So with that said, a couple takeaway questions for you guys listening at home. How can you represent God in your daily life this week?
Second one, what steps can you take to deepen your faith, your fellowship with others at CLF? And then our last one, who is God calling you to serve in your community? Just something to think about.
You know, as we're closing, let me just pray.
Yeah.
Over the people listening 100%. To this, just real quick.
Yeah.
Right. Father, I just think about the people that are in my mind's eye right now that just have probably heard this and they want to serve you differently. Thank you for Jesus that came for us, that we, knowing that we would blow it. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for the empowerment to change. I also think of the people that are non-believers, that our friends that are listening right now are going to share the gospel with. I just pray, let that bear fruit and bring people to faith. And I pray that you give our people a vision for growing in Christ to affect this world for Jesus. And we thank you. Thanks for our time together today. What a blessing it's been. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dave. Appreciate that. And just thank you for joining us on episode 2 of CLF Conversations, where we grow in Christ one conversation at a time.
Amen. I like that. Super funny.